Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Miss Jackson. Hey, man, we're going to be talking about love and marriage in this upcoming issue of J Made Magazine. And what I want to, well, it's not an introduction because she's been on my show before. And y'all probably have heard, read her article in our first issue of J Made Magazine. So going into February, being the month of love, I have Sister Mama Sonya on the line. All right now. And we're going to talk back and forth. Sister Mama Sonya, how you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. It's just a blessing to be in your presence, albeit through the radio.
Amen. It is always an honor, amen, to get an opportunity to talk with such a great woman of God, you know. And you know what, Sister Mama Sonya, you know God bless you also to be a woman of resource, too. And that's, you know, that's a gift and a talent, you know, to be able to be resourceful, especially for people who are in need, you know. Well, in this issue, first I want to do a little mini bio for love and marriage. Tell us a little bit about your marriage and how long you've been married, and then we'll dive into what keeps you two together.
Well, it's odd, but I guess it was fake. Mm-hmm. My husband was born November 25th. I was born November 26th. At one point, we were probably the only two little black babies in Herman Hospital. He's 17 hours older than me. So we have really, I guess, been connected since birth.
Oh, my.
We've been, it will be 30 years, March the 24th of this year, 2014. We've been married 30 years.
My God, you know, just to say something right in there, 30 years, Sister Mama Sonya, you know, and which brings me to my next question. I'm going to get into how did you meet and all that, but the question that I always get communication on this question, what keeps you together?
Well, one thing, when we made those vows, we said, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And we meant that. We didn't go into the marriage thinking, oh, well, if it don't work, we can get a divorce. That was never our thought. And my husband, but I said, boy, that's not like graveyard love. He says, I'm not going nowhere, and you can't leave. So, long we live by that, we will be there together.
Amen. And I believe he meant that.
Yes, it is.
Praise Jesus. Praise. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, we hear today that in the Christian community, black community, the divorce rate is very, very high, high. And but that's one of the things I want you to think about, because we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the broadcast. But just share with us, how did you two meet?
Well, I sang and I was a part of a gospel group, Jackie Staten Revelation, and his sister sang with it also. One day we were getting ready to go to an evening event, and she was sitting in the car with her brother, and I just got in the car and he'd say, "Hey, how you doing?" Well, I had been at a the night before. This was what 36 years ago. The night before, I had been at a event. At your age, and we were, it had been a dance-a-thon, so I'd been up all night. My legs were hurting, I was tired, I was sleepy. So when I got in the back of the car, I said, "Oh, my legs hurt." So he said, "Put it up here." So I stuck my leg through through the seat, and he started rubbing on my leg. I said, "What you rubbing on my leg for?" He said, "Evidently, you must want me to touch it. You wouldn't have put it up there." I didn't know his full name at the time. And back in the day, we used to wear black lipstick, right? I had on my little black lipstick. "What you doing putting with that mess on your lips? You know you don't need that. You can sit down without it. You don't tell me what to put on my lips." Oh, we just going back and forth. Girl, it was hilarious. I mean, it was crazy. I didn't even know this man. And so, you know, we went on the scene, and I gave him my number. He called me that night, and I think we talked about 4 o'clock in the morning. And as they say, the rest is history.
Wow.
We dated for like 6 years. For 3 of those years, I moved away and went to law school in Austin. And he was, you know, he was here in Houston. But when I came back, we got married, and it's the rest is history.
Wow. So how did he propose?
At the Hyatt Regency. Before, they're talking about 35 years ago. I mean 36 years ago. You know the revolving restaurant at the top of the Hyatt Regency. Before they had all the tall buildings. Mm-hmm. You could actually see something. Now you just see buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called a Spindle Top. I think it was a Spindle Top. Whatever that restaurant was, we went to the top. And he proposed.
Wow.
Overlooking Houston. Very romantic.
Oh. And then, you know, I always ask this question when I'm talking to married couples, you know, for this issue. Did you have a wedding?
Oh, we had a huge wedding.
Oh.
And, you know, they said weddings are really for parents, right?
Right.
My mother, put it like this, my mother invited her college roommate to the wedding. It was that kind of stuff.
Oh.
The lady had been in, she lived in New York. She'd been in Houston even till the week before. She flew back to come to the wedding. I had a wedding party of about 26, I think. Yeah, because I had... with the bridesmaids, probably 30 when you counted the urchins and everything. It was a huge wedding party. And there was probably, I would say, anywhere between, I guess, between, like, 900?
Mm-hmm.
900? Almost 1,000 people at the wedding.
Wow. Hey, man. You know, I always like to share those details because some people feel like, if you have a wedding, it'll last. If you go to the courthouse, it won't last and all this. But I'm finding out in this research system I'm telling you, that has nothing to do
absolutely
with that marriage lasting.
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
And I believe a lot of people are getting married for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They get prepared for the wedding, mm-hmm. but they don't get prepared for the marriage.
That's right. After you know what that, you know, you just said something.
Mm-hmm.
I can see a play or an article or something called After You Say I Do.
Come on.
after, wait a minute. No. After the last piece of cake is gone.
Ooh. Exactly. What you going to do then?
What happens then?
You know, and which brings us into the meat of this interview, which is...
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and you have been going back and forth on this topic for a minute now.
Yeah, we have. Mm-hmm.
And that underlying thing, that clause, that divorce clause, that I come in with a way out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the view of marriage today. I'm, you know, I get with you, I marry you, but I always got a way out.
I always got a way out,
which is really... trumps the prenup, you know, because I already trumps it anyway. You know, when you marry me and you already got in your head that if this don't work out,
you know, got a way out.
That negative thing. So what I really want to get into the after the wedding. Okay, we had the wedding. All the family is gone, you know, and we got to live together.
That's right.
Come on now,
right.
You got your way of doing things. And I got mine.
I put my toilet paper on the roll with the rolls down. You put it where it rolls up.
Right? So how do we make it? How do you get through those times? And let's talk about when illness hits. Let's talk mm-hmm. about the myth of 50-50, 100-100.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into that.
Yeah. You know I guess I want to touch on, I think, what's the part that has been the most challenging
mm-hmm.
is when you're dealing with illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of 30, well, really within the last, I guess, 7 years with us,
mm-hmm.
You've had 8 years now. My husband had the herniated intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Came home from church one night, from choir rehearsal. He said his with her. And I said, okay, go take a Pepto-Bismol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to the bathroom, go have a good one, you know. And it kept getting worse and worse. He says, look, I'm going to the hospital. You can stay here, I'm going. So I drove him there, got there. Come to find out, he had a herniated intestine.
My
God. Said, had I not gotten him there, he would be on an ostomy bag today.
Wow.
That was in 2006, I guess around spring.
Mm-hmm.
Then in March of 2007, he had, I had gone to my parents' house because I had eye surgery. Whenever I would get sick, I would go to mom and daddy's. Okay, and this is, I've been married now over 20 some years, but I would still go to mom and daddy's. So mm-hmm. while he was at work, I needed somebody to take care of me because I couldn't see that day. So he asked me to come to the hospital with him. Went to the hospital, got there. So my eye was all red and crazy, and the doctor looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, I just had eye surgery, and I can't see." Then the doctor said, "You know what? That's a sad state of affairs. You got a woman who can't see being driven by a man whose lung collapsed." My husband had to go to the hospital because he said he couldn't breathe.
My God.
His lungs collapsed in the middle of the night.
Oh,
we were told that most people who lung collapse while they're sleeping die because they can't remember. They can't breathe. They don't remember to breathe.
Wow.
Like I said, my husband had been a smoker for 30 years, but he had quit smoking maybe about 2 or 3 years before that, but the damage is already done.
Yeah.
He had more blibs on his lung, they said, than anybody they've seen in a long time.
Wow.
So that was in March of March the 3rd. Now, I remember this, 07 was just a tremendous year because on March the 23rd, day before my wedding anniversary, my mother went into the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and my mother died April 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So all during this time, now my husband's recovering from lung surgery. I found out at the time that lung surgery is the most delicate surgery. It's more delicate than brain surgery or even heart surgery. That's what the doctors told us.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, you know, it was serious. He has, on his other lung, he still has some blibs, but they couldn't take care of it because they don't do prophylaxis on lungs because it's so delicate. They're not going to go in and fix it until they have to fix it. So doctor said his other lung collapsed at any time. But I serve a God that it's at any time yet. So
yeah.
It wasn't funny, but he said, you know, he can go when he's 80. I said, well, let's wait till he's 80. Then, you know, I'd be kind of, I probably would have done everything I want to do with it by then. So we got time on that, and then the Lord got a little agreement. 80, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then that summer he started, this is still in 2007 now, when my mother has died. He's had that ailment, you know, with his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Started saying he couldn't see. Well, his vision kept coming in and in. Went to the doctor. Our doctor said, we need to take you to, let us see a neurologist. Went to the neurologist. Long story short, he had a massive brain tumor.
My God.
From the summer, from August, like in 2 weeks, it had gone from like 2.0 centimeters to 4.6. When they operated, it was over 5.0 centimeters, or whatever it is in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
After the surgery, it was like a 5 or 6 hour brain surgery. The doctor told us to be ready for, you know, when you have your brain, a lot of times you have to learn how to walk, talk. You become like a child.
Right.
Over again. He said, be prepared for all of that. So, you know, I was prepared for long recuperation. Once he woke up, the doctor went up to him. He says, you know, hello, you know, what's your name? My husband said, Craig. He said, what's my name? My husband said, what you mean? You don't know your own name? He said, what day it is? What do you mean what day it is? I've been in surgery. You ought to know. Every question he asked, he had a smart comeback. The doctor looked at it. He says, he had never seen anybody, very rarely seen anybody come out of brain surgery on it. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're fuzzy.
Yeah.
No, right on it. He did lose sight in his right eye as a result of the brain surgery because mm-hmm. he was told if he didn't have the brain surgery, he would definitely die.
Right.
if you did have the brain surgery, you know, we could have all the complications. So it was a no-brainer. You might as well get the surgery, you know.
Right.
But praise be to God, the only thing he had was the, you know, he did lose sight in his right eye. He can only see in one eye.
Mm-hmm.
With the steroids, he gained 100 pounds. I mean, you know, it was just weird. So when he was 100 pounds overweight, he was blind. I would say, I'd rather have a fat, half blind husband than a fine one in the grave.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. What got off the steroids? I had insurance. He lost insurance. The steroids he was taking, we had to pay out of pocket. I think it would have been like almost $1,700 a month.
Mm-hmm.
No steroids. He lost 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing fine. You know, to me, it was some very, very strong steroids, and I didn't want him on it that long anyway, because you know it was bad for the rest of your body anyway.
Right.
So then, that was in 07. We went, well, I think in 0, we're in 14 now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
In 11, my husband was working at in 12, we were in 14, he was working at UPS, and a part-time, they called him one morning, says, your husband has twisted his knee, come to the hospital. They asked him to go to, out of all the hospitals, he said he wanted to go to Bentop. I was a little upset at that. I said, out of all the hospitals, why you want to go to Bentop? You know, but then when you're triaging, that's the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Bentop, you know, they look at everything.
Right.
So we're in the hospital waiting to go home. I'm packing up my stuff, waiting to go home. They said, he can't go home. When is your husband have a heart attack? I said, excuse me? My husband has never had a heart attack. He said, all the tests. The test indicated he's had a heart attack.
Wow.
Right. So we had to wait another 6 hours, took the test again, everything came back normal.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, this time last year, now I'm talking about his sickness and his health till death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
He got up one morning and it was like he had a flu-like symptoms. He was feeling really bad. He would stand up, fall down, stand up, fall down. And so he fell in the bathroom. Well, I couldn't pick him up. Now, he had already lost all the weight, but I still couldn't pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Called the ambulance. They came. They picked him up. They said, wait a minute. You want us to put him in bed, or do you want us to take him to the hospital? Well, in the back of my mind, I said, no, you better take him. So,
yeah.
They took him to the hospital. I told them to take him to one hospital. They took him to another one. I met St. Luke's looking for him. He's at Methodist. And I'm panicking. Where is my husband? Get there. When I finally get there, found him, they said, your husband is very, very ill. We think he has meningitis, which is the worst meningitis. This is the virus, whatever it was, the worst one I keep forgetting is just the spinal or the other one, viral or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was meningitis. Definitely said it was meningitis. Now, all the other times they said he was sick, you know, with the brain tumor and all like that. I said, okay, we'll deal with it. But when they said he had meningitis, my spirit did not accept it. I said, no, he doesn't have it. He said, well, I said, well, no, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept doing them all kind of tests. One test they couldn't give because if he did have meningitis, his brain, you know, would have collapsed if they'd taken it. Well, because he had had brain surgery, what looks abnormal on us is normal for him.
Right.
So they're looking at his brain, and they said, well, there's something wrong with his brain.
Yeah.
Once they went through and got the old x-rays
mm-hmm.
from the brain surgery, they realized this is the way his brain looks now because of the brain
surgery. Yeah.
It was normal. Yeah. So it ended up that he had, tests. It was just crazy. They sent tests everywhere. Finally, it came out. They said, oh, he has. First they said the flu, then they said it was a sinus infection. And I said, oh, is that all? And then the doctor, one of the nurses, says, no, don't ever say, oh, is that all? A sinus infection can kill you.
Mm.
A sinus infection, because if it had gotten in his brain, it really could have killed him.
Yes.
They can get and realize sinus infection, well, that, you know, it could get that bad, but they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, I in my spirit, when they said meningitis, I didn't accept it.
My God.
I just didn't take it, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But we had gone through all of this in the last 7 years.
Mm.
We've gone through all of these trials as far as illness.
Wow.
And, you know, I was reading that, you know, after infidelity and the money problem, illnesses, you know, of spouses can be the next reason why people split up.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I was listening to you as you testified, and I didn't hear not one time you said I was tired. I was worn out. I felt my spirit just, you know, and I've seen marriages break up because of illnesses, or the wife couldn't take it, or the husband, while he was waiting on the wife to get well, met somebody else. All of these kind of things. And I'm saying, you know, what happened? You know, what happened to, I'm so, like, my husband passed away. And as we went to the clinic, and as we went to doctors, as we was in and out of the emergency room, not one time did I in my mind say, I'm sick of this. I never thought about, oh, I married a man that's sick. You know, you see what I'm saying?
It never crossed my mind to say, well, I'm going, you know, I ain't going to do this no more. It was just never part of it.
Just never part of it. I want to read a scripture right quick. And I know, I know if, in 1 John 4:18, I read this on my radio show, in an earlier broadcast. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I think that's the main reason why. That's why we say, you know, when you get married, you got to first understand what marriage is. You got to first understand that it's not a, you know, some people get married just say, oh, I'm married now. And I don't think they really understand what marriage is.
Marriage really, really is.
Talk to us a little bit, Sister Mama.
You know, when we were going through all the trials and tribulations and, you know, anything, you know, my favorite verse is Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. And this is the one that just, I mean, just sets me on edge. Then when you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, we have that peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace, I call it the peace that just don't make no sense. And I know that's incorrect English, but the peace just don't make no sense. And I think in marriage, you have to get to peace. Now, don't get me wrong. It has not been all roses on top of all that other stuff. You know, you have disagreements. You've had the financial problems. And we've gone through a whole lot of stuff. But never once, you know, and at the back of your mind, that little imp, you know, you might as well just leave. You know, but I don't even listen to the imp. Because it does come up.
It's
going to come
up. Oh, the devil, listen. The devil is on his job.
I'm so glad you said that. You know, I tell people, why do we get mad at the devil? The devil is doing what he's supposed to do. But the only way the devil can do his job is what? We don't do ours. If we do our job, we can shut him down. Don't get mad at him. Because he's doing what he's been ordained to do. Are you doing what you've been ordained to do to shut him down?
Come on now. And and something else I want to just pull out right now is that moment, I believe it starts before you say I do, right?
That's right.
And because it's a point, it's a place you get to where you know that's who I'm going to be with. That's who you are. You see what I'm saying?
It is.
Yeah.
It is a point at one point, and you realize, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be with. And this is the way it's going to be. Now, when you hit that point, though, the problem is, are you going to stay at that point? Or are you going to leave? And so you can, I mean, we all get that. We know what's going to happen. But is that what you're going to say? Or are you going to let, like I said, you're going to let the devil do his job and come on in? And he is. He's going to do it. He comes to what? Steal and destroy. Kill and destroy.
Come on.
That's his job.
That's his job.
So when you let him inside your marriage, and it's easy. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I have had some crazy thoughts, you know. But my husband, he has such a strong faith. As a result of going through all that, he's in Bible College Seminary right now.
Mm.
I mean, God, I mean, you know, he's been through all that, and you know,
I
say his faith is stronger than mine. I am a minister, but you know, our faith wavers also too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see his faith being stronger than mine. We said earlier about the 50-50, 100%, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I see it, sometimes we both give 100%. Sometimes he gives 30, I give 70, I give 10, he gives 90. I don't think you never really give a truly 50-50%, because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a perfect 50%, I think that's just wonderful.
Yeah.
If both of you all give 100%, I think that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when, you know, he's going to have to pull me up and I'm going to have to pull him up.
That's right. That's right.
So it's any time. I don't think there's a wrong. So what? I'm giving the 10%, he's giving the 90. That's the way it is at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up the next morning, I'm giving the 80, he's giving the 20.
Right.
Some days we're both giving the same 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Some days we're giving all, it just depends upon the situation.
I hear a lot with young couples. I hear a lot of mine, yours, his. And I look at my mother. And when my mother and my father got married, she was a teacher. I mean, she's still a teacher, but she stopped being a teacher, you know, teaching, good like that. And she began to grow a family, okay? And she became a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, I'm like this, whether you keep a career, whether you be a stay-at-home mother, whatever works for your unit,
whatever works for you, that's right.
For your unit. And I see a lot of women who are so scared to let go. They think giving in to a husband or a man is robbing them of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of young people who really don't embrace the beauty of being married, being in love, and actually sharing in the first ministry that God created. Because mine, yours. What we came in this with, we're going to leave out of this. And it's like I say, it started off corrupted, you know? So talk about unity. Talk about that, like you said, that compromising, that self-sacrificing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that just to encourage those that are newlyweds. I have some that I interviewed like 6 years and some that's like maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when they read this in the, I listen to this on the broadcast, I think it will help them understand truly what covenant they're in.
You know, you have a covenant, it's like a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
God is at the base,
mm-hmm.
husband's on one side, the wife is on another, and it comes into a point, an apex. That's the way I see marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Always God is at the bottom part of that triangle, though, and as you go together. You know, you talk about, like, my parents, when my mother died, my parents had been married 56 years.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was, so that was, husband, when his father died, his brother had been married well over 50 years, and his father had been during the last, I want to say 10 years, maybe that long, his father was laying in a bed. He had Alzheimer's and whatever else. He was laying in the bed almost in a fetal position, and his mother took care of his father all of that time.
Wow.
So we both men, that's another thing, me and my husband, what we have to look at, we have examples of sustainable marriages.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing, because that's what we know.
Yeah, yeah.
We know our parents' marriages weren't perfect, but they stuck together. stood together. They stuck it out. They were there together. Mm-hmm. So that's all we know. See, that's our example, are examples of sustainable marriages. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't have that example.
Amen. Amen.
Then you look at since that's what it, number one, that's what it starts off. So before the marriage, that's what we see as marriage. Mm-hmm. That's our ideal of what a marriage is, it should be. Mm-hmm. Then when you go in, you're not going in thinking, oh well, if this don't work, I can always get a divorce and go marry somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I mean, I just don't think so. Because if you go in thinking you're going to leave out, it'll be so easy to leave. But if you go in thinking, I'm going to work it through, I'm going to work it out.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, you know, when I do talk to couples and whatever, younger couples, when you go in, but you have to go in with that, where you respect one another, you respect one another's space, you respect who one another is. And you don't go in, you don't, if there's any type of abuse or anything else, you are not a punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a, you're not someone to be, disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody puts your hand on you or thinks they're going to put a hand on you, then it's time to go.
It's time to go.
And see, now I'm of the thing. If he hits you one time, he's going to hit you again.
Yes, so he is.
I may be wrong, but see, that thing is no. Man, you better sit down and talk, have a long talk with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow yourself, well, he loves me. No, he don't love you. Mm-hmm. Don't hit nothing you love. You don't hurt nothing you love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing with young couples. I tell them, do not allow yourself to be sucked into that, you know, he loves me, this and that, and allow yourself to be hurt. Because marriage, love should not hurt
mm-hmm.
at all. If infidelity, I mean, I just thank God I've never had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can always say what you want. If he mess up with me, I'm leaving. He'll be leaving. Now, that's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my thing. But I've never had to deal with that. So yeah. I can't even speak to that.
Yeah.
But I do know when you have serial infidelity, I love myself too much.
Amen.
To allow myself to sit there and allow, you know, because if you're going to be with me, be with me. If you're going to be with her, go be with her. I have no problem. Go.
Go. That's yeah. Fine. Won't you be happy?
I'm not here. Yeah, whatever makes you happy. But I'm not going to sit here and allow, you know, myself. You abuse me or my children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to. To me, those are reasons, you know, that you should not. The first thing is you should always is make sure that you're holding yourself up to be respected
mm-hmm.
and loved.
That's right.
Anybody who respects and loves you is not going to hurt you.
That's right.
And then do a vice versa for the man and the woman, for both of you. You need to have mutual respect and mutual love.
And you know, and know that if they're doing it before they propose.
Thank you.
After the wedding.
You can't change nobody.
Glory to God. Amen.
If you're dating and he's running around and he's still trying to sow his wild oats and get it out. Well, boo. Well, yeah, you can get it out by yourself.
By yourself.
You do it beforehand.
Exactly.
Whenever you start it, that's how it's going in.
That's how it's going in. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Sister Mama Son, you gotta I've enjoyed you on this show, on this broadcast. I want to do another one soon with you.
Yeah.
I want to.
You know, that's one of the things I just wanted to say, that I think one of the most important things in a marriage is laughing and having fun.
Amen.
After you communicate, you got to communicate, because we had gotten to this thing where we weren't communicating. You know, I don't read, you know, I gave up mind reading about 50 years ago. So I don't do it well now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to communicate. I think that's the very first thing. Got to talk it, no matter how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with going out and getting getting some help. There are a lot of good therapists, Christian therapists. Go, if you can't do it, go and talk to somebody before it gets too bad. I think that's real, real important. And when you go, And you know, as a minister, we want to run and talk to your minister. If your minister is not licensed or has not been trained in therapy, don't go to. I'm sorry, if they're not a counselor, don't have it. Don't go to them.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, because that last time they speaking. I mean, they may mean well, but when you need help, you need some professional help.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing after the communication is laughing and having fun. Even in the midst of all, when we go through stuff, sometimes he'll just say something that's so stupid and so crazy, we just fall out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. Go out on date night.
Yeah.
It's a date night. It's in the middle of stuff. You just have to, and if you don't have no money, you're going to get your ice cream cone and sit outside of Baskin Robbins and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
come on. Go to the park.
Go to the park.
Yeah.
Go. Just get in the car now. Before gas was too high, we used to get in the car and drive around 16. Drive around. It's too high to do that now.
Yeah.
You can't just run out the gas.
You got to get on that rail.
Yeah, you can get on the rail and ride.
Amen.
Amen. Just have fun and laugh. Don't be afraid to laugh.
Mm-hmm. You know. The next show I want to do with you is healing the hurt.
A lot of
relationships when people come together, they know they love each other, but they're destructive because they're hurting. They never healed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they don't love the other person. They're in a mode that they need to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to make sure we do that broadcast.
That's
the process. And you know, you're going to have something coming up. I want y'all to be watching out. It's going to be having something that comes up that's dealing with in sickness and in health. The same thing we've been talking about today.
Exactly. I really want to do a seminar or something. I'm trying to do it around Black Marriage Day this year, but it may not be able to do it. But I do want to maybe do it in June, since June is the year of the month for quote unquote weddings, the June bride.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do something about in sickness and in health, so death do us part, and get certain couples who have gone through this, and have them on a panel and have them to talk about what it's like to go through all of this.
Yeah.
I think to hear it from other people. I know there's a friend of mine has a cousin or something. She says he's been in a comatose state, and his wife goes to see him every day since 2009.
Mm.
She's still there. So it will be a panel with people who've gone through stuff. I have a friend when they first got married, before they got married, she had sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost died several times.
Mm-hmm.
They still, 15 years later, they still there.
Mm, that foundation. Glory to God. Well, we definitely, amen, look for the next time that we grace these airways and share. I mean, because I believe to be a healthy community, we must share information. We must share information. You know, the Bible says his people perish for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, that's right.
And if you know better, then you are responsible. And you are responsible with what you know, then you'll do better.
There you go. Well, I just want to thank you, too. Just let everyone know. I think you're such an awesome, awesome young woman of God. You share. You're out there with people, and I just want to thank you just for you being you. Because the best thing you can do in life is just be you.
Amen.
Whoever God has ordained you to be, just be you. And when you be you, and when you be the very best you can be, girl, you're doing it. And that's what you do. You just do you. You just do you so well. And I just really, really appreciate you, and I just thank God for putting you in my life. Because I see you as one of my little sisters, but I look up to you as a big sister too in Christ, and I just thank you.
I thank you too. You know I love you. I love you. Yeah. And you know, and let me tell you something. You know, I've always been attracted to the wisdom. You know, wisdom. It didn't matter what age. It just
That's
wisdom.
Right. That's
I've
right.
just always been attracted
That's
to
right.
it. And God has blessed you with wisdom, which is a very powerful, powerful gift. And I thank God that you are walking boldness and you share. Every time you ask, you share.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, that's building a healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
And we want everyone. Now, Sister Mama Sun, give some contact information.
Sure. I have, like everybody, I'm on Facebook.
Yes.
Sister Mama Sun, you know, I'm learning how to say that. Still haven't learned how to Twitter. I'm going to learn how to do that. That's one of my goals for 2014. I got so many Twitter accounts, I'll set them up and forget how to use them.
So, I'll help you with that.
Please do. Okay, that's going to be, I'm going to come, you know what, I'm going to come by there, hopefully about before the end of this week, and we're going to get on Twitter. And I have my email. Well, I have several. One I have is dealing with the diabetes. I do have a group called the Sisters CD. We'll be able to get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
If you need have anything dealing with diabetes, you want to talk to me about it. It is the Sisters, THESISTERSCD, the number 2, at hotmail.com.
All right.
And we have a theater ministry, which your children will be participating in next week.
That's right.
January 20th. But we're doing, it's called Three Sisters and the Spirit Theater Ministry. And that's where we harvest hope, healing, and harmony through theater.
My God. Now, like she said, Sister Mama Sonia is on Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's
and
how
I will be on Twitter at the end of the week.
That's right. And listen, let me tell you something. Look her up because her page is always filled with some awesome information. And right down to good discussion, good forums, good discussion, questions, just to get your mind to flowing. Amen. The brain is a muscle and we got to learn how to get it flowing.
Right.
You
yes,
know,
right.
So I thank God for you, Sister Mama Sonia. We're going to let the airways go.
All right.
This has been another J-Made Magazine broadcast, and we got more coming for you. We're going to have Sister Mama Sonia back because we're trying to get that information out there. We want to build better homes, amen, strong marriages, amen. Like I say, love and marriage, amen. God bless
and
you.
I always like to end by saying, today is a good day. There is nothing we can't handle without God's tender grace and mercy. Ashe and amen.
Amen. And we are gone. Till the next time.